Hello, America. This is Richard TNT, and I want to welcome you to a new BBS radio talk show that is a Tell It Like You See It about American Truth and Reality. That is the name of our program, American Truth and Reality. Many people think that they see the truth and the reality. Other people wish that they could see it. On this program, we're going to try to give you our opinions, our point of view, our experiences, and some of our life's work to exactly what that really means for each listener to the program. So we cover current events, anything going on in our world, anything going on in the country. How does that impact us? What's the importance of it? What does it mean to us as citizens of the country and citizens of one globe? And we cover some sports as well as our main topics of faith and politics. How do they blend? How important is faith? How important is faith in our politics? How much faith should we have in our politics? Those are some of the questions that we explore. We always have an open mic, so we welcome anybody to call the open mic, because that was what our show is all about, hearing from the callers. The number is 888-815-9756. One more time, 1-888-815-9756. Call anytime if you want to talk about something that we're talking about, or you want to talk about something that you want to talk about. We take questions, comments, perspectives from everybody. And we will let you know if we don't agree with you. That you can be assured of. But we do want to hear from you. So I have with me today as a guest, my first interview on the program.
Hello.
Is Mr. Bob Brown. Bob is president of his own business, Cross Connections. And he is a man that is well-seasoned in many areas of life and made a very interesting spiritual journey that we may get to in this program. But I wanted to start out asking my friend Bob to introduce himself to everybody and say hello.
Hi, everybody. Hello, America. I love the name of the show, American Truth. And I, you know what I say, drop the American. It's truth
in reality.
It's truth. All right, truth in reality.
Okay, I'm with you. No, I'm with you on drop of the American, because it kind of cleans it up. You know.
Yeah.
No, but I think America makes it more clean, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because we're all Americans.
Yeah.
And we are not United Nationers.
Yeah.
We're the United States of America.
Absolutely.
We may be a member of an organization that we finance.
True.
And pay for, and everyone works against us in.
True.
But we are the United States of America. So I want a program here that tells people and listens to people that are Americans. And why it's unique to be American, why it's special. This is the greatest country on the face of the earth. We could not have been more blessed by our good Lord God above than to be citizens of the United States of America. And it's special. And we have a special role in the world. And I think that that role needs to be discussed. It needs to be debated. It needs to be talked about. It can't be put under a bushel basket. It needs to be exposed on all levels. So we're going to get into some political discussions as well as faith and, of course, some sports coverage. So we got some ground to cover. But, Bob, let me ask you. President Obama seeking a second term. Does he deserve it? Yes or no?
Does he deserve it? Yes or no? No, in my opinion, absolutely not. He deserves to be thrown out today. But that's just my opinion.
Okay.
I have to realize that my role in the United States, in the world, as a Christian, is to obey and accept. And Obama, like it or not, is the will of God. I believe that he has been selected for one reason or another. Oh, we're getting call-ins already? I love it.
we are. Our producer is taking the calls and screening, but go ahead.
Are the lights lit up? No, I'm only kidding. So we have to. I have to accept Obama as my leader and obey him. But I don't like him. I don't like. He scares me. He scares me.
And because of his leanings, how he governs, what scares you about him?
He scares me because he's bankrupting my. I don't like him with my checkbook. I don't want him with. He's in the kitchen with my checkbook. And he's writing checks, and I don't know. I am afraid.
You don't have confidence in his ability to lead us the next 4 years.
No.
Okay.
No, but he will.
Well, you're not alone on that sentiment. First, I want to say that I'm for President Obama because he is all Americans' president. Yeah. I'm for him succeeding because if he fails, yes. then our country fails.
Correct.
And that's not good for anybody.
No.
It's not good for America. Right. So I don't want President Barack Obama to fail in any way, shape, or form. I want him to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we gave him 4 years. As a nation, we first African American president ever elected,
yeah.
and we're proud of ourselves as Americans for doing so. The question isn't anything other than does he deserve another 4 years, and is he our guy for the next 4 years? I think that's the debate that all Americans have when they choose their leaders, and I believe it's going to come down to the economy and whether where our economy stands on Election Day in November 2012. And whether the American people have proven over and over again that they are willing to change course. And this would be no different than what happened to George Bush Sr., perhaps Gerald Ford at the time, Jimmy Carter, when Ronald Reagan won in 1981.
How do you measure the economy?
1980.
How do you measure the health of the economy? How do you do it?
Well, unemployment. And whether these corporations are spending their money and to feed the economy, and they're not. They're sitting on cash. Our American corporations right now are sitting on more cash than perhaps at any other time in their history. Do you know why? Because there's been no incentive from the United States government taxing policies for them to unleash their cash. And it's the government of saying, we're opening up the markets, opening up the floodgates. What's been happening is our current administration has been attacking corporate America, trying to paint corporate America, who provides billions of jobs, which is the backbone of this country.
Yeah.
They're trying to paint corporate America as the bad guy and just a bunch of greedy capitalists, which, oh, by the way, we are founded on capitalism in this country.
I want them to hold on to their cash.
And now
– that keeps their stock price high, which protects my 401k and my IRA, period.
The question comes down to what – why are the corporations sitting on their cash?
Because if they spend it, the stock goes down and my value of my IRA goes down. Keep the cash.
I think it's because they don't trust the current administration's policies to provide incentives that make business sense short and long term.
What kind of incentives? Tax incentives?
Well, it would have to be.
I agree.
So corporate tax or tax breaks to corporations is not a bad thing. It's an issue that the far left tries to make into a bad thing.
We welcome
it fuels the economy so these corporations can hire more people. So unemployment goes down. People are making an income, bringing it home to their families, spending it in the broader economy.
You're right.
So unemployment
is a good measurement indicator. What else?
Right. But at the same time, there's a lack of confidence in the leadership on all things financial. Our country's talking about raising the debt ceiling. We keep moving the target, move the goalposts, putting it on the backs of our future.
Yeah, increase the credit limit.
That's
a cure for getting out of debt.
And I'm going to tell you something. If this deal comes out, I don't care if House Speaker Boehner and President Obama plays golf every day for a week. If this comes out anything less than okay, because it's an emergency situation and our global economy is hinging on it, we're going to temporarily raise the debt limit with automatic reductions as law going forward and a significant reduction in spending across the board and really go through our economy with a fine-tooth comb. Anything less than that comes out of this agreement between House Speaker Boehner and Obama or the final agreement between the House, Senate, and the President is going to potentially be disastrous for this nation.
So you say okay to raise the debt, but
with guaranteed spending cuts and an automatic built-in de-escalation of we can't raise it anymore, and we have mandatory requirements that it goes down,
or else it gets paid down. I mean, I agree with you.
Well, our nation's no different than any other nation or any other person. if we default on our credit or our ability to pay, then, you know, shame on us. And but, you know, the world economy shatters when that happens. Or you get to one world currency, and I don't know of any American that would want one world currency. But at that point, if the rest of the nations of the world conclude that the United States dollar isn't worth anything, then what? You have one. Then they want their own currency.
I feel like I'm at the window of the casino, and the gamblers come to me and say, "Come on, just bump my credit for two. Just bump my credit $200 more. Bump it, please, please, please." What history do you have that you're gonna that this $200 that I'm gonna give you is gonna result in less debt from you, less gambling from you? You're telling me it will? What if it doesn't? Do I get my $200 back? No. So I say, don't increase the debt limit. Don't give people more. Higher credit limits on their cards when they have demonstrated no ability to pay it back.
At what point does it stop is the question for our nation even us as individuals.
It's got to stop now.
So that plays into November of 2012 when we're choosing our next leader for the next 4 years. That plays into, does he deserve another 4 years? And I believe that question is going to be answered by the American people based upon the state of the economy on that day or whether they feel that we're on the right track.
Yeah.
And the American people – you know, usually get it right. I can't say we've always gotten it right. I don't think Jimmy Carter was a better pick than Gerald Ford. I'm sorry. You can't convince me of that. I absolutely believe George W. Bush was much, much greater than Al Gore could have ever been.
What? How much? What was unemployment under Bush? Unemployment 7%.
I don't think it. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I guess it was never over 7%. Was it?
Had to be 5%. Right. And price of gas was $3. Bring him back.
The excuse of blaming George W. Bush on November 12th of 2012 when this election is not going to fly with the American people.
No.
Clearly, Obama owns this economy.
It's your ball game, big guy. Don't be sloughing it off. Don't be sloughing the blame off.
He owns the economy. He owns Afghanistan. He's kind of pulling out of Iraq. He signed an executive order to close Guantanamo Bay, but decided actually Guantanamo works, and what?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess these enhanced interrogations actually work.
What if Guantanamo was closed? We may not have gotten
it. Signed the order to close Guantanamo Bay, except we're not closing Guantanamo Bay. So I'm an executive. Yeah. But I give him credit. You know why?
Who, Obama?
Yeah. Because he signed that Guantanamo Bay thing and he said all these things going in the election. And what you see with President Obama. Is what you see with many presidents and candidates like him. They go in promising, you know, change and change we can believe in. And they think they're going to go into Washington, D.C. and change the office of the president of the United States.
Right.
And what happens is they sit in that chair and behind that desk in that Oval Office.
And they got the power. And they got the
power. Yeah.
They see the balance. They say, oh, wow, do I got some money to spend.
What's our credit line?
Woo, baby, how much you want? How much you bring? Line them up.
Yeah. What's our credit line?
Yeah. Ooh, yee-haw.
And they sit there and they get
the new boots.
They get the intelligence reports from the CIA. They get the military reports. They see the satellite images. They see the reality. They know stuff that we as citizens do not know.
Right.
And
that's
presidents,
why they get gray hair.
And
so
presidents
fast,
always take it to their death. They never reveal everything that they knew, I don't think, in a book or anything.
That's why
I think many in our history of our country, I think many of our presidents have actually passed when they passed away, they passed away with a lot of secrets.
Can't say so.
And but the office changes the man and the realities of the office. And when Obama got in the office, he realized that, hey, you know what? You know, Bush had most of this stuff right.
Yeah.
Because we really don't have a better option. He made the right calls. But yet I ran against all those calls. And, you know, I would like to see more credit given to former President Bush by current President Obama. And I would like to see Obama just come out and say, you know, as a candidate, I thought this, but the realities of our situation have told me to do that. And the American people would respect him, I think, because I have a respect for Obama for not – actually following through on some of his executive orders like Guantanamo Bay, because it tells me that he realized
he's being overruled.
That he
if he wasn't being overruled, that's what scares me about him. He'd have done it.
Yeah, but who's overruling him? Biden? No
check.
Who's over? Not Biden.
No. Not
Biden. Who's got his ear? Hillary Clinton?
Could it be talk radio?
Could it be the right? Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, my heroes on talk radio are guys by the name of Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck,
yeah,
Bill O'Reilly, yeah. Sean Hannity.
The American people are speaking up through Wisconsin elections. There's a shaker for you.
Oh, I'll tell you, in the state of Wisconsin, that's been a firebed in Wisconsin,
heck yeah,
and in national politics with the unions.
You bet.
Governor Walker's
decisions.
It's a
battleground, yes.
Well, that's an indication of what's going on. And
in the country.
Wisconsin had a Supreme Court race that was contested.
Yeah.
Originally announced that the challenger that supported unions, basically, it was a very partisan.
Yeah, it was labor versus unusual, management. Yeah.
Unusual partisan Supreme Court race during the union happenings in Wisconsin, and it was announced that Kloppenburg, the contender, was trying to unseat an incumbent Prosser.
Yeah.
Election night, she took
doesn't know this.
Credit for the winning, and then she actually ended up losing to Prosser in a recount that cost taxpayers hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in the state of Wisconsin. But it was an indication of where the people stand. Wisconsin
is a
blue state.
Who do you
it's a liberal
gonna,
state, typically.
Who do you think's going to beat or give him his run, a run, Obama?
I am not sure who is actually in the current field going to make the run. I mean, really contest. I'm thinking Romney's is the favorite horse, if you will, in the race, but Pawlenty could come on strong. Palin, VP candidate potential only, not necessarily president.
Right.
Not that I don't like Sarah Palin. I think Sarah Palin's awesome. I'd vote for her for president. I would, because she's a lot better to look at on news conferences than Barack Obama is. That's for sure. As far as I'm concerned,
I think anybody's better than Obama.
But she's also extremely intelligent, extremely bright, and is right on.
But the reality is,
on the issues,
he's going to get another 4 years. Because come election time, gas is going to be $3.50. You watch, unemployment is going to be 6.5%. And the economy, people are going to think, hey, we're actually on the road to recovery. I'll give him another 4 years. And then, boom, back up. Prices don't come down. And if they do, they don't stay down. Prices are here to stay, folks.
I'm not convinced if the economy doesn't change from this point in time, unemployment 9.something%, 8-9%. If it doesn't change, I think the American people make a change. I think if the economy is strong and the American people feel it's headed in the right direction and there's got spending cuts coming and things under control, they're going to credit Obama with pulling us out of a tough financial situation when he took office. They'll give him credit for getting bin Laden, of course. We won't hear enough about that during the campaign, by the way. And by the way, I expect this campaign to be one of the dirtiest, ugliest, mudslinging contests. Especially from the far left.
Yep.
Some dirty pool is going to be played in this presidential election. I'm absolutely convinced of that. But, you know, it's hard to say. Right now, I would think if it's a bad economy or economy like it is today, a Mitt Romney and Tim Pawlenty ticket could prevail. If the economy is better, much better, and unemployment's down by 6-7% a year and a half from now, then it's Obama's election.
See, I don't know. I don't know who I speak for, and we'll soon find out by how many callers we get. But I was backing Trump. He was the only guy making waves, standing up, making sense, and speaking firmly and loudly. And I was liking what he was saying, and I would have voted for him for president. Tell me what happened to him. The Obama machine decimated Donald Trump.
I like Trump and the value he would have brought to the debates. Donald Trump would have been fantastic going toe-to-toe with other Republicans even.
Yeah.
And just watching that. And then, of course,
the media.
And, of course, he would go against Obama, if there was a debate between Donald Trump and Obama, that is a debate I would love to see. And what happened was they pounced on him at that press conference, and then he conceded that day. It was almost like the fire was getting too hot for him, the political fires. He said, hey, I don't need this.
I still don't buy the birth certificate from Obama. I don't buy that. I think it's a fake. I don't believe he's a citizen of this country, but my faith tells me he is the will of the Lord.
Now,
he's got elected.
If you, If
he's in control.
There's a difference. Let's different. I understand what you're saying, but there's a difference between being the Lord's will or God's will, if you will, than God allowing something to happen. And I'm not sure
he's allowing us to be punished.
Well, he's allowing us to punish ourselves.
Yeah. Okay.
By making poor choices. I mean, you know, as individuals, we're some of our decisions and choices and judgments, and some are good, some aren't so good. We're human beings. We make mistakes. We try to learn from them and move on. No different than a collection or an electorate in this case. If, you know, President Obama ends up being a bad president for our country, it would be very unfortunate. But we chose him. We chose him based upon what we had to choose from.
And I think we're going to choose him again.
Yeah. I'm not convinced that God wills one thing. I think he allows free will to be exercised by all human beings and lets us live with the consequences of our choices, of which some are good, some aren't so good. You know, and of course, the far left or the left, even the moderate left would say, you know, we are stuck with the consequences of George W. Bush. Well, I think Bush's track record and what history will record is very, very impressive. And he sealed his all-time legacy of great presidents of the United States, of which I predict he will be remembered as one of the greatest presidents of the United States, when he stood on that rubble and he said, yeah, I hear you, the American people hear you, yeah, and the people that knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon. When he said that, he meant it. It was from his heart, and it was the American spirit.
We united under him. He got
like never before, right, that I can remember, and never since. I mean, since 9/11, our country has been back to dividing and carping and
He was ripped for not finding weapons of mass destruction. But you know what? Saddam Hussein needed to be taken out. So I'm glad he's out.
Listen, he went in because he was told they had him. It was a slam dunk.
Right.
You're the president of the United States, and your CIA director comes in and says it's a slam dunk. They're in there.
Good excuses, Andy, to get over there and get it done.
But you know what? As far as I'm concerned, Saddam Hussein did have weapons of mass destruction. He used them to gas the Kurds.
Yeah, he used himself a weapon of mass destruction.
And he destroyed tens of thousands of people and shoveled them with bulldozers in shallow graves. Right. And they're finding them all over Iraq.
Right.
And this guy needed to be taken out, and it took American blood and treasure, but that's the sacrifice that the American spirit and the country was willing to take. Yeah. And you got to remember, when Bush made that call, the American people were behind him. We heard the intelligence that he definitely has him. We knew about gassing the Kurds and gassing his own people.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to
– I guess the question is, should we have stayed or gone?
You have to stop a madman with power, money, guns, weapons, and oil. Yes.
And we got the power to do that.
And we do. And we did it.
I say use it. You know what I say? I say use it against these Saudis. And you know what, folks? I want a couple billion barrels of oil, or else we're going to take back our protection from you.
Right.
We're going to take back our tanks and planes. Why? Trump had it right. Don't give this stuff away. Bargain. 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 You know, you want protection? You want our aircraft carriers and our intelligence, our weapons? Hold on. Instead of giving us cash money, how about oil? How about a third of your fields for 10 years?
Well, and what you're saying, and what I agree with, is that Trump is a deal maker.
Yeah.
He's saying the president of the United States has to be a deal maker.
Deal maker.
And make deals that are in our interests.
Yeah.
And we're not doing that.
No.
We're not doing that by a long shot.
Weak. He's not using our power to make deals. Trump would have. That's why I like
him. Well, and the deals that we make usually end up working against us somehow.
Yes.
Or being good for the other country, but not good for us. China, you know, I looked at Fox News reported, just I glanced at the headlines that Gates was over there, Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, great man, great servant.
Yeah, I like him.
Great. I'm sorry to see him go.
Is he a Bush guy?
Yeah, but he's also Bush Sr. and George W. Bush, both 41 and 43. But he was over in China, and he put a rosy picture on it. You know, things are great, you know. And China accused the United States, after the Wall Street Journal and all the major publications in the U.S., 2 days prior, said the United States military and the United States government now views any cyber attack on our military equipment in any way, shape, or form as an attack, authorizes us to use military, actual military physical force to respond.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So now Gates goes over to China, and basically everything's good, you know, as far as America's good. We're working on things. And the military guy or the top officer in China, you know, you never know who's really in charge of there because it's probably a body of 100 guys that are making all the shots.
The guy who comes across to speak to you ain't in charge.
Yeah. Well, he immediately accused the United States of cyber attacking China.
Oh, really?
Now, is that a Chinese deflection? I'm going to accuse you first of doing something that we're actually doing, because you know the Chinese have been trying to hack our computers and hack our military forever. Yeah. There's nothing new there. And the United States drew a line in the sand and said days prior, if you attack us, that's a military attack. Yeah. He goes over to visit China, and China basically accused the United States of doing the same thing that we just said was an act of war.
Yeah.
He basically said that we were almost like inviting us as an act of war, and that concerns me.
Rick, we've talked about how many different ways this country is under attack. Cyber attacks are one way. Environmental attacks are another way. Our food supply is being attacked. Our health is being attacked. We're being attacked in so many different ways.
I'm going to invite callers to call in again. The number 888-815-9756. Give us a call. 888-815-9756.
How are we being attacked? Let me hear your thoughts and feelings and opinions.
Yeah, call in. We're anybody is welcome to call. But we have a
the lines are jammed. What was that?
Well, depends on what everyone's doing. You know, maybe half the nation could be half the nation could be cutting their grass right now, for all we know.
You know,
right?
Folks, truth and reality. I think we're being attacked. How many people have you heard years ago that had asthma? Everybody's got asthma now. Everybody's got OCD. Everybody's suffering from post-traumatic syndrome. We're using these hand cleansers everywhere. What's in our food stores? There's so many varieties of food and water. It's like mind-boggling. Is this being – who is governing this? Who's protecting us? I don't think it's – I think it's out of control, and I think we're under attack, and we have been for a while.
Well, that assumes that someone's attacking us. Are you suggesting the Chinese are putting things in our
in our rivers? The snakehead fish is eating everything. It's demolishing the fishing industry
from Asia. The Asian carp. Yeah. Well,
the Asian ladybug has eaten all the other good ladybugs. The red ones are gone. It's all orange, poisonous ones. I don't like them. Well, they're bad.
Well, clearly, their needs. There's something wrong at a gut level, and I'm not exactly sure what it is. Even though the politicians like to put a nice face on, there's something not right with the Chinese and U.S. relations right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is.
Distrust?
On both sides. Mm-hmm. You've got North Korea shooting off nuclear – or has nuclear missiles and shooting off missiles over Japan. There always seems to be a lot of posturing and positioning between the two governments and the U.S. and China. And the amount of debt that the Chinese own on the American dollar is certainly an economic threat. You know, and you wonder, have the Chinese been putting together these kind of aggressive economic policies to weaken the dollar, to take on our debt because they have more leverage and control, cyber attack our military, to try these different, you know.
We'll never read about it, though, but you're right on time.
You know,
what was that?
These things need to be looked at. But see, the government would never release this information. The truth is, the State Department, Homeland Security, only if there is a threat to a large group of people.
I am scared.
But there is so much I think our government doesn't tell us that I think is shameful.
Yeah, I know.
And I think we're all entitled to know the truth as things happen. And I think the American people and can handle the truth. Now, whether some of the other people in the rest of the world can't handle it, different story. But the American people, I believe, can handle the truth. And I wish that our government would just do the right thing and give us facts, truth, and reality instead of covering up or the people don't need to know this or that can't get out or let's keep that under wraps or intimidating this person or telling this person they'll lose their career benefits if they don't take this line of thinking, even though their eyes and ears told them something different.
There's two things we as Americans can do, and I'm doing them. One is vote. Takes 15 minutes. connect the dots. That's number
one. It's a duty.
Yeah.
It's a duty.
I can only do that once every year, once every 4 years, once every 2 years. I don't. The other thing is, go to your church and pray. Pray to your God.
You know, I think a lot of people that go to vote are not only exercising their duty, but they're also confirming their right to have a say. But if you don't vote, you almost give up your right to complain and whine and moan or say it should be or he shoulda, coulda, woulda. Because if you don't participate in the process, then you don't want to have a say.
Right.
Because the only say that you can have is your vote.
Right.
And it's very important that every eligible voter, and with emphasis on eligible, every eligible voter and U.S. citizen vote.
How much trust do you have in our election process?
I think the integrity of our election process is excellent. I think it's the best in the world. I do. Is it perfect down to the vote? No. I think because there's so many different balances at the local and county levels and the state levels for both parties to watch results come in and feed them through machines and everything, that you can't – the days of stuffing ballot boxes or those kind of things are over. You feed them in the machines, they count them, and they get reported up and so forth.
How did a guy named Emmanuel get elected in Chicago?
More people came out and voted for him than the other guy. You know, it sounds like a simple answer, but it's the truth. Mm. You know, how do people win? It's two things. The people that went out and voted, and almost as equal to that is the people that stayed home. You stay home, and the guy that you don't want gets in. Well, guess what? You stayed home. And it comes down to, you know, every man and woman that's eligible to vote exercising their duty to do what they think is right for their nation and their country. And that's, you know, that's how a lot of elections are won, especially with when
I've become skeptical of our election process.
In what sense?
Are the results really true? I mean, I want to believe they are. I have a feeling they're not completely accurate.
You think they're fixed?
That's a big question.
Yeah, I don't think they're fixed.
I think in parts of the country they are.
I don't think our elections are fixed. I think they're influenced.
In Chicago.
Well, I think I'm talking about an election day at the ballot boxes and, you know, the returns. I don't think that's fixed. What is fixed and where the fix is in is when the mainstream media, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, these kind of organizations that don't want to give the American people the news. What they want to give the American people is their opinion as to the way they want you to see the news.
So they
spin it and they sell it.
Yeah.
And it's almost, I don't want to use the word brainwashing, but it's almost to the untrained eye, a sort of that gets people to say, well, gee, you know, this is where everyone's going. Maybe I'll just go along in that direction.
Case in point was Florida. Remember Florida?
Oh, my goodness.
They announced it early that what's his name won? Gore. How many Republicans stayed away after they heard that Gore won? How many people just didn't bother to go after that? And then they said, oh, no, it was Bush. How many Gore people said, since Bush went, I'm not going to go. Then they flipped it again, and then they said, you know what? We don't know what's going on. Gee whiz. How many people did they keep from voting?
And then Pat Buchanan gets the majority of votes in West Palm Beach.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the kicker. That was the kicker. The winner of West Palm Beach, ladies and gentlemen, is neither George W. Bush or Albert Gore. The winner of West Palm Beach, Florida, is Pat Buchanan. And I'm a big Pat Buchanan fan. He served under Reagan as communications director.
And I'm glad to hear that.
He's great, and he's sharp, and he's not right on everything, but he's right at a very high percentage. Buchanan can get it right 7 and 8 out of 10 all day.
We came within a hair of having Gore as president of the United States for 4 years instead of George Bush. Oh, my gosh.
You know, the world that we live in today, because elections have consequences. Ooh.
Thank you, and Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Our decisions and
maybe that was a warning shot to us.
Well, I don't know, but I don't know. It's something to, you know, I remember when that election was going on, and I remember the uncertainty for weeks.
Went on.
I remember feeling the good Lord's presence there, and I remember feeling that the good Lord somehow stepped in and really made it so.
See, that was my gut feeling. A real hard, firm, staunch Christian.
You've got an interesting story, Bob. Let me just tee this up for anyone who's listening. And by the way, we're taking calls on faith as well. Yeah. My guest is Bob Brown. Bob is a seasoned professional in professional sales and marketing and executive for the Joe last 20 years.
Joe Lunchbox. Just call me Joe Lunchbox.
President of his own company and business, and has been for over 10 years now. And Bob recently converted to your faith. You converted from, what was it, a lifelong Protestant?
I was a Presbyterian for my whole life and became a Catholic a little more than a year ago. Catholic.
And you don't mind me asking how old you are?
61. And I became a Catholic at the age of 60, 59, Easter. I was confirmed on Easter Easter Sunday.
So you would say that
it's nice to be home.
It feels like home to you.
Yeah.
So you were you a Lutheran for a while too?
I was a Lutheran. I went Protestant, Presbyterian. I dabbled in Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist. I tried the rest and settled on the best. And the reason it's so comfortable is 1.3 billion others can't all be wrong. It's nice to be one of that many. I'm tired of trying to fight my own fight.
Did you feel a certain universality feel to the Catholic Church?
Well, when I went to Catholic Church, Holy Hill, it was full of Filipinos and Southeast and Asians and people of so many different races. It's like this is a world religion. And it's not about Catholic or Presbyterian. It's about Christ and the Holy Spirit. And that's where the peace is. So the two things we can do is vote and get on our knees, really, in this country. God responds to knee mail. He definitely – I can recount case after case after case. After becoming a Catholic, they have this thing called Eucharistic adoration, which I didn't know what it was. I signed up for it because I wanted, you know, I was excited and did it. And I found myself in front of the Eucharist for an hour every Friday at 2:00.
For non-Catholics, when you say Eucharist,
this is
something that
body and blood
really
kind of
defines the essence of the Catholic Church.
The Catholic from all other churches. Yeah, the Catholic faith takes the Eucharist every day.
And Eucharist meaning Catholics believe it's the true presence.
Body, the true presence. That's the best way of saying
it. Of the Lord Jesus.
Of the Lord himself.
Of his command.
Yes.
Of this is my body and this is my blood.
And prior,
from a spiritual standpoint, in the form of bread and wine.
It's a visual representation of a spiritual feeling. It's the Holy Spirit is there. And what else is I find comforting is that the Lord is present and does respond. And he also must not be in the presence of sin. You really should, in fact, you do, you're required to confess your sins before you take the Eucharist. And they offer the Eucharist every day. It's a daily cleansing. I take a shower every day. I wash my body. Why not wash your spirit?
Your soul?
And your soul, yeah.
So different from what you're used to for 60 prior years, Protestants, and by no means any of the Protestant listeners and callers even, we're taking all calls from everybody, but we have great respect for Protestant Christians, and
they're
our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah.
It's a journey. It took me 60 years to finally find the right track.
Yeah, and there are differences. I mean, there are differences in beliefs with our other Christian brothers and sisters, and it can go to interpretations or just other, you know, human factors that weigh into it. But the Eucharist to Catholics is the true presence of Christ in himself that you receive in the most pure form here on earth. All right, and confession is a sacrament by which you're formally cleansing your soul of any sin prior to receiving communion.
Yes,
that is not what was consistent with, because I've been to Protestant services before.
Yeah,
they go up to what looks like communion, but they make it clear that some do, some don't, that they don't believe that's truly Christ present. So right. What's
and
the
it's,
purpose?
It's I mean, once every
if you
three
do that,
months,
then,
2 months, 4 months, I don't know. But,
I mean, what would be the purpose if for communion if they go up there? Do you remember from?
It was a way of, I think, confessing and getting close to the Lord. But why wait 3 or 4 months to do that? And which the Presbyterians, Lutherans, they don't have communion every day like Catholics. It's important to do it every day. Commune with the Lord. Let your spirit commune.
Or
with
as
the
often
Lord.
As possible if it's not possible for you to go
masses
every day.
Masses are offered at mass.com. You can go to mass.com and find out masses in your area every day,
well,
every afternoon, every evening.
There's a website called masstimes.org.
Masstimes.org, that's it.
Masstimes.org.
Yes,
type in your zip code wherever you are, really in the world, and it'll tell you where the closest Catholic churches are. And I happen to be Roman Catholic myself, and I've used it on countless occasions when traveling. And it never ceases to amaze me the true universality, correctly, of the Catholic Church, in that there's always a Catholic church and a Blessed Sacrament where our Lord is present close by.
Yes.
There's always one in the town. There's always one accessible to no matter where you are, and not just in the United States, but even especially around the world. And
they say the same thing. The message is consistent. You can go to mass at 7 o'clock at any time anywhere in the world and hear the same message.
Well, you mean have the same mass, or because there's
the readings are the same.
Oh, I see. There's consistency in terms of what they're reading in Church A on the East Coast as to what they're reading that same morning
in
Church
I mean.
B on the West Coast.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
The message is consistent, which, again, it's comforting to know that there are others out there. And I find peace in communing with the Lord. Peace. I'm afraid I have a lot of fear with the prices going up, the economy being out of control, unemployment, Obama, the elections, the debt limit, all these things are causes of fear in me of the future.
Well, fear is certainly not something that is endearing. Has your faith helped you confront those fears in terms of how you practice your faith? And how it relates to the choices that you make of the political candidates there that we're faced with. I mean,
fear has to be. The Lord wants fear dispelled, banished, abolished. The Lord is not the user of fear is Satan. Satan uses fear, uncertainty, guilt, shame, doubt. He uses those weapons. The Lord uses the weapon of peace. He doesn't use peace be with you. My peace I give you. My peace I leave you. That's the last thing he said to the apostles at the Last Supper. When he gave the Eucharist, he said, "This is my body given up for you. Take this in memory of me." And every day before Eucharist is given to the masses by the priest, the father repeats Christ's words to his apostles, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave you." I'm sorry, folks. I need that.
That sounds like a cure for fear, anxiety.
I need that a lot.
That sounds like a cure for fear, anxiety. Yeah.
You know what? Obama's going to do what Obama's going to do. And if my connecting of the dots isn't the guy I want, it's the Lord's peace that's going to get me through the day, the week, and the year.
Well, I think it's just trusting in the Lord that when you speak to him, he confirms that he's listening. And you have to ask. I mean, you have to ask. I was interested to see, and when I opened my readings for today's Mass, I looked at the Gospel. I'm actually going to read from the Gospel because it's really one of those good ones.
And today's?
It ties in directly with what you're talking about. And that is, communication with our maker, our creator, mm-hmm. who gave us our mind, our soul, and our bodies, mm-hmm. and every breath that we've ever
and our
taken,
free will.
And every breath we ever will take.
Yeah.
He gave us everything. He wants us to communicate with him
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and talk with him, say yeah. formal prayers, whatever is communication with him, he wants. And this is a great gospel reading, one of my favorites. There's so
Go
many
ahead.
Good ones,
Go
but
ahead.
This is one
Go ahead.
I pick. So this is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
John.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have told you this in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you clearly about the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not tell you that I will ask the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have come to believe that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." It's the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That gospel underscores two things. Ask.
Mm.
Pray and ask.
Yeah.
And it also underscores that this life is temporary.
Yeah.
Just like our Lord's life here, he's eternal. We're all eternal beings. But he came into the world to die for mankind's sins. And then he left the world to go back to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And as we follow him, that's where we want to go. This life is temporary. It's very short in the realm of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do here counts. The decisions we make, the choices we make count. And as a nation, as individuals, as parents, as brothers, as sisters, as fellow human beings, as nations.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but wonder what this next decision by the American people relative to selecting our leadership and our leaders is going to tie to doing the right thing. It's going to be very interesting to see after you cut through all of the viciousness and all of the slamming and all of the mudslinging and all the pettiness of and the ugliness of campaigning,
mm-hmm.
what decision and verdict is rendered by the American people.
Mm.
We can only pray. We can pray that the right decision is made and ask the Lord to do his work.
Yeah.
And he's done it before. He certainly can do it again.
And the value of the Eucharist again, Rick, the reason it's so meaningful and comforting to me is I started telling you, I signed up for this Eucharistic adoration, which was an hour a week, 1 hour a week.
Now, what is Eucharistic adoration? That's the presence of the Lord being exposed and you pray.
In the church.
In the presence of the Lord.
In the presence of the Eucharist. That's the physical structure, if you will. But the meaning behind that is that the Lord is there. The Lord is in the Eucharist.
Well, that is exactly what he said.
Yes, he is. You know, it's his body and blood. The Eucharist holds the body.
So many of the critics of the Holy Catholic Church and those who lack information or background knowledge think that, that's the teachings of the Catholic Church, or that's what the Catholic Church says, or that's what the Pope say. And this is what the Lord said
the Bible,
himself.
Yeah, the Lord,
this is my body.
Right,
this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me.
And
I don't know how much clearer the good Lord could have been while he was here.
Right, it's so black and white, one syllable word. But being on my knees for an hour, let me tell you something. When you're on your knees for an hour, first of all, you spend the first 20 minutes wondering, oh, gosh, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? The second 20 minutes is like, okay, well, I suppose now that I'm here, Lord, maybe I should talk to you. And then comes the period of listening and then responding. And soon you find yourself dialoguing with the Lord. You do. You try it. You get on your knees for 1 hour. I don't. You don't have to be in front of the Eucharist. I'll give you that. But be in a setting that's where his in a church. I would encourage you to find a church and get on your knees for an hour. And at some point in time, that there will be an urge to say a prayer for someone else, not yourself. It could be yourself, and he will answer it, Rick. He has answered directly prayers that I made without ever expecting a response.
So he's rewarded your
prayer. Not only was the prayer answered, but my wildest
anticipations of
optimistic
answers.
Like, Lord, please help my daughter or my sister get through this. Please send her the peace of your Holy Spirit. She's troubled. She's in hurt. She's in pain in spiritual.
And life. You saw direct
the next day.
Oh wow, that's great.
So prayer works.
Yeah. Well, of course. Sometimes we ask for an answer to our prayers, and the answer that we get is not the one we wanted.
Correct.
And that's the time where faith kicks in, and we have to trust that the good Lord. Yeah. As our eternal Father knows better than what we think.
Yeah.
We, you know, if you ask, if a little, your little baby girl or boy asked, hey, can I play with that really neat razor blade?
Yeah, right.
And you said no.
Right.
And they pitched a temper tantrum because they're not getting their way and they want to play with that razor blade.
Yeah.
Well, I think in a lot of ways that signifies, you know, the decisions that we don't have the wisdom or understanding or knowledge to comprehend what's best for us. We think we know what's best for us, but we really don't.
Right.
And that's where we need to trust our eternal Father making those decisions in our life. And I think that's really what you're experiencing.
And he answers prayers too in many, many ways. Of course, he answers them in some cases. In my case, he answered them within hours, within days. It was like incredible. But he was teaching me. He is teaching me. I am here. I can answer your prayers, but I want you to come more often. I want you to talk to me more often. I want to dialogue with you. Your prayers may not seem like they're answered until you come a few times and say the same prayer and demonstrate a commitment and a sincerity.
It's a relationship. It's a relationship.
You get what I mean.
So
you get. I'm a young Christian at 61. I'm an infant.
So. It wasn't enough for you just to accept Jesus as your Savior and live your life. It was not only have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior in the Catholic Church, but you also practice that faith by talking to Him on a regular basis through Eucharistic adoration,
he
where you
me,
you have the true presence of the
every
Lord
day, every morning. Whenever I when I do go in the mornings to Mass, it's wonderful way to start the day.
You had no experiences like this your previous
Presbyterian, no, once a week, and it was the
what about Lutherans are
once a week. It was the pastor, the reverend that I went to hear. I liked the reverend, his message. He was a good speaker. That's not the reason to go to church. I mean, it is a reason, but it's not the reason. And if he and I remember sitting and a substitute would come in, and I'd say, oh man. I don't want to hear this guy. Oh, shoot. Let's go. That's why I became a Catholic.
So that gave you clarity?
The Lord was saying to me, Bob, you're going to church for the wrong – you're mixing up the message, the signal. Be careful that you're listening to my commands, not someone else's commands interpreted by them. Be careful. And the Catholic Church is pure. It's very pure. There is
now you're talking about you got to make a distinction here. The teachings of the church and the church itself, not the individuals in the church. And
yes, because, that's what I mean.
That's where you have people, you have sinners in every religion,
absolutely.
In every denomination,
oh
in every
gosh.
Faith.
Absolutely.
So where there's people, there's sin.
That's another show because the Catholic Church is under attack.
So when you talk about pure, you're talking about the teachings of the church and the essence of Christ's presence in his church.
Yeah. Yes. It's focused on Christ and his message of peace and joy. Follow my commands and you will have peace and joy beyond your understanding. And I've been there. I've had it happen. I've had it from the seeing the joy of prayer answered for a part of my sister and my brother. Unbelievable turnarounds gave me such joy. So I ask myself, Bob, why don't you stay there? Why don't you stay there? Where are you going? Why are you leaving this?
Well, do you think?
And I do leave it because the world pulls me in. My checkbook pulls me. My balance pulls me. My business pulls me. I can't stay there. I want to, but I just can't. I'm sorry, Lord.
What's the one thing that you would say to everybody or anybody that is thinking about, hey, you know, I hear this about the Catholic Church, or I hear that, or the news reports, or the paper, but yet they feel, or they sense, or they want to learn more about it, or they're not sure, they haven't quite decided where their faith's at, and they want to consider what it would be like to be Catholic. That had to be an interesting, at that point in your life, an interesting turn that you took.
Yeah, yeah. I would say to each and every person that that you are blessed. Thank the Lord that you are responding. He is trying to communicate with you. The fact that you're even bringing it up or undecided about it is an indication that that the Holy Spirit within you is stirring. And that in and of itself is a blessing. Keep stirring. Keep looking. Keep searching. Keep responding. Keep listening. And you'll find the right path. You'll find it.
Quickly, what would you say was your evidence? When did it hit home to you that you felt this was the right thing for me to do? Was there a moment, or was it a series of moments?
Should I tell the audience about your role in that?
Well, you can share. You can share with whoever you like your experiences.
I don't know about you in the audience or you, Rick. I don't know.
We're going to have to wait for that for the next show. So I want to thank you, Bob, for sharing your faith with us. Thank you for sharing your opinions. I hope you enjoyed listening to us. We'll be back again. Please watch for the Richard TNT. That's me as your host, and American Truth and Reality. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take care.